Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to the Gospel according to John, chapter 4, John 4, 27 through 42. This is God's Word. Just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 more months and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. The main point today is, if you want to know whether Jesus really is the Savior, come and see. I hope you remember the verses that went before these. Jesus encounters a Samaritan woman at a well, and he asks for something to drink. She's shocked because Jews would not want to touch something that a Samaritan had touched. But Jesus didn't live by everybody else's expectations. He did what the Father told him to do. He said what the Father told him to say. Well, this woman, after Jesus had talked with her, this woman believed enough to leave her water jar and start telling others. Jesus had said, "If you receive what I have to give you, you'll never thirst again." He wasn't talking about the physical water. He wasn't talking about the fact that once a person's born again, they don't drink liquids anymore. He was talking about the fact that our life is filled with the pursuit of satisfaction. You may get rich, you may get famous, you may become powerful in worldly terms, but it will not satisfy that deepest longing. And Jesus told her, "I can satisfy." And then when he made it clear that he's the Messiah, She goes running into town. She leaves what she had come for, which is to get water in her jar from the well. She just leaves that. She runs back to town, and she starts telling people, come and see. Come and see. Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Well, the people took her seriously, at least seriously enough to come out of the town and start coming toward Jesus. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. Now, why? Well, because the reason they had gone into town, leaving Jesus there at the well where he was sitting because he was tired, the reason they'd gone into town was to get food. They were on a mission, but their mission was all about meeting physical needs. Do we have physical needs? Yes. Did Jesus meet physical needs? Yes. Is that what his ministry was all about? Absolutely not. So, this woman left her water jar and she went and began telling others. They said to Jesus, you need something to eat. We've got food and water going here in this story. Here, have something to eat. Jesus answered in a way that they didn't understand. I have food to eat that you know nothing about. They thought he meant literally food. Do you see this repeatedly in John's gospel? Jesus said back in chapter 3 to Nicodemus, you must be born again. He said, how can a man enter back into his mother's womb and be born again? That doesn't make any sense. Jesus says, that's not what I'm talking about. You're thinking in terms of physical birth. I'm talking about spiritual birth. Give me some of this water you're talking about, Jesus, says the woman at the well in the previous verses, so that I don't have to come here and draw water from the well here. This isn't what we're talking about. Most of us, even after we're born again, tend to live our life focused on physical things. That's where we live. Hey, I got a body, I got to take care of it. Yeah, but where's your focus? Where's your focus? Jesus said, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. And so his disciples thought, well, somebody must have given him something. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. What really satisfies is not your next meal. I mean, after the meal, you'll say, boy, that felt great. You know, I'm satisfied now. Yeah, for a few hours. In other words, physical food doesn't fill you in the deepest part of who you are. Money cannot fill you in the deepest part of who you are. Fame cannot fill you in the deepest part of who you are. Sex cannot fill you in the deepest part of who you are. Nothing can satisfy eternally except your relationship with God. And that relationship is only possible through faith in Jesus Christ. So, Jesus says, obeying the Father is more satisfying than physical food. Do you not say 4 more months and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They're ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you've not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. When I moved to Cape Cod to be the first pastor of a church plant, the thing took off. When I went to that church, there were 21 members, two of whom were men. But here's what happened. A lot of those women had been praying for their husbands. And when I came, a lot of those husbands started getting saved. Praise the Lord, this is wonderful. But it wasn't because I'm such a great communicator. It's because other people had done the work and I'm reaping the harvest. I got to reap a harvest where other people for years had been praying that God would raise up a Bible preaching church in that town. People had been praying for their loved ones to come to faith. People had been trying to share the faith and live a life that would be a credible witness in a community where most people had no clue about the gospel. And so our church was featured twice in 5 years on the cover of our denomination's missions magazine. Isn't that wonderful? That wasn't me. It was God. God did the work. But Jesus is saying that that's why he came. He came in order to seek and to save that which was lost. And so he says to the disciples, guys, I've sent you. I've sent you to reap a harvest that counts for eternity. That's what we're talking about here. Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents, and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere, and everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is, and He's holding out His hand. But the waves are calling
so,
out my name.
So, verses 39 through 42. Many believed, and they moved from a secondhand faith to firsthand knowledge. Many of them believed. These were people who came because the woman said, come see, come see. So they came. And when they got to where Jesus was, they were fascinated. And so they said, would you stay with us for a while? And he stayed with them 2 days. Look at these verses, beginning in 39. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. She had said, he told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. Now please notice this. Jesus has been doing miracles in Jerusalem and Judea. He's done miracles. His first sign that John tells us about was in Galilee, in Cana of Galilee. Jesus had been doing miracles, and some people were believing, but a lot of people weren't believing, even though he did signs and wonders, even though there were miracles. A ton of people didn't believe. These folks didn't say, because we saw those miracles he did. They listened to his words, and they became convinced that Jesus is the Messiah. This is the one we've been waiting on. This is the promised one. Because even in the Pentateuch, through Moses, God had spoken of the one who would come. The fact of the matter is, God promised from the beginning in Genesis that one day the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head. And Jesus has now come to do just that. So, there were many who believed. And then they spent time with Jesus. And they said, now we really believe. They moved from a secondhand faith to a firsthand faith. I want to talk with you about that. I grew up hearing the gospel. I grew up believing it was true. But it was an intellectual faith, not a relationship. There was a turning point in my life. You know, Pastor Wood, when were you born again? I'll just tell you, I was very young. I was dozing off to sleep and God woke me up. Somewhat startled me awake, not by a sound outside. The window was cracked a little bit. The breeze was kind of moving the curtains a little bit. But I remember just waking up with the startling thought, all these years, I've known about the Lord, but I've never asked him to save me. If I had died tonight, I would have gone to hell. And that was the truth. That was the truth. If I had died that night without having received God's gift, I would have gone to hell. Boy, it's lucky you didn't die. No, God preserved me. And then God awakened me and caused me to realize that I needed to respond to him. If Jesus is alive, and you really believe that Jesus is alive, don't treat him as a concept. Don't treat him as someone who just lived a long time ago. Treat him as someone who's alive right now, because he is. You can talk to him. You can ask him questions. When you go to look at his word and it just isn't, you know, I'm just not getting it, tell him that. Say, Lord, I don't understand this. Would you please help me to understand it? Would you please show me what you want me to know? Now, is he going to tell you everything you want to know? No, probably not. Not right now. But will he tell you everything you need to know? Definitely. He'll tell you everything you need to know when you need to know it, if you want to know it. Does anyone lack wisdom? James 1. Let him ask God, who gives generously without rebuking us for asking. Let him ask in faith, not doubting. Because a double-minded person is not going to get anything from God. What does that mean? It means if you want to know God's will in order to do God's will, God will show you his will. But if you want to know God's will so you can add it to your options, no. I say that over and over and over again because the pattern that I see is the one that James talks about. People want to know what God says, and then they'll decide. These folks started out thinking, you know, I want to go see this guy. This woman says this, and it's very impressive. And then they meet him, and they say, would you spend some more time with us? And Jesus didn't say, no, I don't want to hang out here. We're just going through here on our way. No, Jesus agreed to spend 2 days with them. But during those 2 days, those people spent time with Jesus. If you want to know whether this that we're teaching is true, spend time with Jesus. Ask him. Ask him to show you. Ask him to help you understand. Read the book. Ask God to open your eyes and help you understand. And then see what he says. I hear from people all over the country and sometimes in other countries who have doubts. You know, they're just not sure. They, you know, they're not convinced that that the Bible's true. And I'll say, well, what in particular are you having a hard time with in the Bible? Well, you know, it's an ancient book. What is it in the Bible that you're having a hard time believing? Usually they can't cite anything because they want to believe the Bible's not true and therefore they don't need to learn what it says. I've shared before that years ago I was talking with a friend who had a PhD And he was saying that, you know, he believed the Bible was filled with good things for us to benefit from, but he just didn't believe that the Bible was without error. You know, I just believe there are mistakes in the Bible. And I said, well, can you show me one? And he said, yeah. All right, well, that's progress. And so he said, you know, in this passage it says this, and in this passage it says this. And I said, well, let's look at those two passages together. Well, we did, and he had to admit that he had misunderstood what it said and that there's not a contradiction. God doesn't contradict himself. God does not contradict himself. I've told you before about the family in our church in Atlanta, the Halls. Harold and Ruth Hall were a precious couple in our church in Atlanta. They had a son, Harold Hall, who was married to Jane. Harold and Jane Hall. Why is that interesting? Well, we had another couple in the church, John and Jane Hall. Now, this wife named Jane was not married to Harold. She was married to John. Okay, I can keep track of that. Yeah, they had a son named Johnny. Okay, was he married? No. Okay, well, all right, so John and Jane, Johnny Hall, I can keep up. Well, we had another John Hall in the church, and he was married to Anna Hall. Looking, you know, we've subpoenaed all the church records from Mount Vernon Baptist Church in the 1980s and 90s, and we see here some discrepancies. Here you refer to Harold and Ruth Hall, but here you refer to Harold and Jane. We believe that's a mistake because clearly there is substantial documentary evidence for the existence of John and Jane Hall. So we think this just got it wrong. If you go back and try and dispute the record, you're the one who's going to get it wrong. Because it was written down at the time accurately. But if you say, well, you know, did John Hall have two wives? One was Jane, one was Anna. Is that the solution? Or did Jane sometimes go by the name Anna? Neither. Okay? If you go back and try and impose your view on Scripture, you're going to get it wrong at least 90% of the time. But if you simply come to the Scriptures and say, Lord, I want to study your word. I want to know what you have to say. I want to learn from you. And you take this as the word of God, you will find that more and more and more, all this ties together. These things that I didn't understand, now it's becoming clear to me. The biggest barrier to people understanding the Scripture is not wanting to. If you want to spend time with Jesus, get on your knees and open your Bible and ask him to be your teacher. And guess what? These people, after spending time with Jesus, said to the woman, now we don't just believe it because of what you said. Now we've heard for ourselves and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. So, what was our main point? If you want to know whether Jesus really is the Savior, come and see. You see, the Christian message as we go out to harvest in fields that are ripe for harvest is not to go out and tell people, just take my word for it. Just take my word for it. You can tell I'm a very authoritative person. I've got education. I've got experience. Take my word for it. I'm not telling you that. I'm not trying to introduce you to a concept. I'm trying to introduce you to a person who's alive having conquered death. He's alive right now. You can know him. Come to Jesus. Come and see. He stands ready to spend time with you if you want to spend time with him.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.